I'd like to mention that this message has nothing to do with Father's Day. Just so if you're looking for something, I'm sorry, you know, maybe next year. If you'll turn to the book of Micah, the minor prophet, Micah chapter 7, starting in verse number 15. The chapter is entitled, Micah Finds a Solace in God. And verse 15 says, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nation shall see and be confounded at all of their might. They shall lay their hands upon their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. The world is going to look at the church, and they're going to see some marvelous things that they can't understand. They don't even know what to say. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Our God loves mercy. If you think, I am not worthy to be in this place this morning, think again, because our God delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's our God. He doesn't change. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the offering and the tithes, and we ask, God, that there'd be an anointing upon your word. Lord, that through it we could be strengthened, revived, have a greater understanding of who you are and what you want to do in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yesterday morning, I was shaving, and there was this annoying fly buzzing around my head and in the room. And it's a dangerous thing. You've got a blade in your hand, you know, and there's this fly it's so annoying. I tried to find it, and my motive was not with good intentions. No one invited the fly in. We had a door open in our second floor balcony, and he just decided to come in and visit. And its loud buzzing was beginning to really aggravate me. I needed to concentrate on what I was doing. I looked for something to use to persuade it to somehow fall on the floor dead. And at that point, I was thinking a hammer would work, you know. When it suddenly escaped through an open door, and as I later reassessed the situation in my mind, perhaps the hammer was an overkill, you know. Some of the things that buzz around our heads, sometimes it's an overkill. The first 8 years of my career was as a claims adjuster for a company in New York City. And one of the questions that I would ask every time I had a claim was, what was the cause of the accident? And I remember this person saying, in an attempt to kill a fly in my car, I ran into a telephone post. Sometimes by trying to kill the little annoyances in our life, we put our own life in jeopardy. I just got to get rid of this thing. And we get to the place where we're not thinking straight anymore. We're doing things that put our whole life or our spiritual life in jeopardy. We used to sing the song, "If I Hold My Peace and Let the Lord Fight My Battles, Victory, Victory Shall Be Mine." It's undeniable that we face a plethora of pesky issues that swarm into our faith, but what good is a dead fly when you crash your car? What good is taking care of the little annoyances if it takes you down in your character or in your faith? Anybody alive in here this morning? I have found that it is not necessary to respond to every buzzing fly in my life. Yes, sometimes a response is necessary, but sometimes silence is the best response to something that you just can't get at right now. I seldom feel sorry for the things that I did not say. But words are like toothpaste. You just can't put it back into the tube anymore. And we say things that we don't, well, perhaps God puts some sweet, irritating people in our lives to see what our response is to an open door or to a hammer. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You know, you can talk the talk, but if you're not walking the walk, all you are is tinkling brass, the sounding cymbal. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Verse number 1, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." Well, that might work. "But grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Amen. Glory to God. I want all of God can give me, but there has to be some restraints in my life. And because things don't go exactly the way I wanted, doesn't mean that God has left or there isn't a blessing in it. So if you'll turn to Exodus, the 14th chapter. It's so wonderful that God has given us all of these stories within the Bible in order to direct our life and our character. He didn't just report on all of the good things that happen, but he also describes some of the things and some of the frailties of people and how we can learn from them. We're not the only one who has ever failed in life and God has restored. And in chapter 14, starting in verse number 10, it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." That is the greatest response that you can possibly. You don't cry out to other people, you cry out to the Lord. "I'm a little afraid of what's going on right now, so what do I do?" Let's go to the one who can take care of us. "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou now taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" You know, it was a good idea when they left. But now, because there's some problems, it was a good idea to come to that altar. It was a good idea to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But now we have a problem in our life, and we're wondering, did I really make the right decision? And Pastor, you? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. This pandemic that you see here today, one day you will see it no more forever. Hallelujah. 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I know the Lord fights for me, but can I hold my peace? Can I not be afraid? Can I get to the place that moving forward was the right thing, even though there are some frightening things that happen in my life? Philippians, the fourth chapter, probably one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. Of course, there's a lot of them. Philippians 4, verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. You think God made a mistake here? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What are you lacking? God has it. Have you noticed when people get afraid of circumstances in their life, their thinking goes haywire? They start accusing people around them for their dilemma. They look for a hammer to kill a fly. They start saying dumb things like, it was a lot better having the position of slave in Egypt, you know, than walking with God. Anyone hear about Job? He had a few problems. Sometimes we think we're rewriting the book of Job in our own life. And yet it said in Job 1 and 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then God starts to brag on him. Wouldn't it be great that through this whole thing, God starts to brag on all of us? Wow. They didn't react like everybody else. Job 2 and 3 tells us, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. I know what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to take the authority away from us. He wants to take the joy that we have in song service. So we regret everything that we started, you see. A lot of life is what we do in time of trouble. God gets a better picture of who we really are in difficult times, and I believe that Job decided long before the trouble came into his life, that no matter what happens, I'm going to still serve the Lord. Like Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. You do whatever you want, but I'm not going to budge. Moses told the people who were afraid of Pharaoh's army, stand still and see your salvation. Nothing worse than jumpy, edgy Christians. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I hope it's better. Not knowing where to run or if they should stand still, Moses said, the Lord shall fight for you. He hasn't changed his mind because we're now in the New Testament. The Lord shall fight for you. Isaiah 31 and 4 says, thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, the shepherd will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. So when everything is roaring against us, when we hear loud sounds that cause us to be a little afraid, a little tense, God said, don't allow that to happen. Not in your life. Church, we have been hearing the roar of the media every day. I don't know if they can be called the media. They're not reporting on truth. You know, their stock and trade is to make people afraid. For months now, how bad the economy is, even though we've had some great surges in the economy. How bad this pandemic is. It's spreading. We got a second wave. This is going to happen. That is going to happen. I don't think that I'm not cautious. Don't think that it isn't right to take precautions. They're wondering, is business ever going to come back? Is the economy ever going to come back? But God is not wringing his hands. Heaven has not filed chapter 11. We read Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He's going to take care of us. He's going to be there for us. Let the world wring their hands. Let the world worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, but we're confident in what God is going to do for us today. I believe now more than ever, God is pouring out financial blessings on saints than ever before. I hear testimony after testimony how things are going well for them who have been faithful to God. God said, prove me, and I'll open a window. I said Wednesday, I got a call from the bank that we have our mortgage with for the church, and they said, you know, we're just feeling like we want to lower your interest rate by 2 points, which will probably save us $2,000 a month. In the middle of the pandemic, what's going on here? But we've been faithful to missionaries. We've been faithful to Giving Mothers Memorial. All of these things. And God's saying, I'm going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Why is God doing this? To show the world that we don't operate in their economy. We operate in God's economy. God's gonna take care of us. There's no shortage in heaven. Years ago, I did a study on lions, and I realized a lion has a gland that no other animal has, and it's way back at the back of his throat, and it is only activated when it roars. And when it roars, it has a sensitivity to its prey, even a mile away. It's really uncanny. But the male lion that does all of this roaring never does any killing. He just causes the prey to be frightened and to run in every direction so the female lion can take the prey. The prey would be better off running to the roar, to the toothless lion. You know, too lazy to get up and run after the prey in the first place. Amen. God says Satan is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He majors in scare tactics, because he is a toothless lion, can't do anything to us. Amen. We're secure in the Lord. What sounds are we listening to? It determines where we run. And that's why in times like this, we need church more than ever before. Because we need to hear the right sounds. We need to hear encouraging words. After hours and hours of listening to negative things, we need to hear the word of the Lord. Like Isaiah 31 and 4 says, run to the sound of the shepherd's voice and rely on the words of the Lord. So shall the Lord of hosts come down and fight for you. Hallelujah. You believe it? Do you believe it? I keep saying this, but it's almost embarrassing. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those who have a perfect heart towards him. So when we are up against a battle, a situation, circumstances, dilemmas, you know, the best thing we can do is make sure my heart is perfect towards God. I'm doing everything I possibly can, and now the eyes of the Lord are on, and he wants to show himself strong on our behalf because we're not equipped for the battle, folks, but he is. If you'll just hear me this morning, God spoke to me about this yesterday as I prepared for this message. We are not subject to the same economy as the rest of society is. We are not subject to the same diseases as the rest of society is. Oh, I know there's exceptions, and I don't question God. If our hearts are perfect towards God, we should be able to feel safe in what we're doing. I don't want the joy of the Lord ripped out of me because of some poor report. And that means not reacting to the media, but reacting to the Word of God. God is about to show himself strong on our behalf. I believe with everything in me that this is a time for the church to shine like we have never shown before. This is a time when the world is starting to ask us questions. What's going on with you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Great things are going to happen in this church if you will just buy into God's economy and have faith and trust that he's fighting for us. I have never been as excited about God doing what he is going to do in this church. I see it happening every day. There are two areas of our lives that bring the most pleasure to God and also releases the most blessing and most power. Two things. Outstanding. They stand out. They are worshiping and giving. When we can do those two things, there is more blessings poured out from God than anything else. You can have worship without giving, and you can have giving without worship, but you put those two together, and it's just an incredible formula for the blessing and the power of God to rest upon us. You know, when we've been at General Conference, when the whole world comes together for a conference, there's always a mission service. And everybody knows the mission service is all about helping the missionaries get back on their field. And people give, they sacrifice. I've never been in services that were more anointed than in mission services because the love they have for the Word of God and willingness to give in order to get the Word out. Amen. Nothing moves God like these two areas of life. My God shall supply all your need. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. More than you can handle. According to Revelation 5 and 8, God has collected the odors of our worship in golden vials, which tells you that our worship is so precious to God. You see, we don't major in religion, we major in relationships, you see. And God died on the cross, not so there could be 600 different denominations, but he died on the cross so he could have a one-on-one relationship with each of us, and there could be this intimacy. And when that happens, it is so precious to him that he literally collects our worship in golden vials. And then in Acts 10 and 4, an angel told Cornelius, this is the first non-Jew, this is a Gentile, if you will, that his worship and his giving has come up as a memorial before God. And now God's going to send angels to you. I've got to do something, is what God's saying, because of your giving and your worship. I have to. It's a memorial. Now, when you put the two things that bring the most pleasure to God together, well, look out, because miracles start to happen, blessings start to flow, hallelujah, and nothing and no one can stop it. Lots of people will worship, but not always to the point where they can worship all of the time. You know, as I stand up here, I can see some people who, well, they're going through some difficult times. It's almost like a sign that says, I'm sorry, I can't worship today because I'm going through something. But if there's a Job out there who won't lose his integrity, blessed is the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Hallelujah. Lots of people will give, but more out of their abundance rather than sacrifice. Not because of love. You know, we've given to several missionaries and evangelists over the last few months because we recognize there's going to be a problem. Well, what benefit is that to you? Well, I'll tell you, when God's smiling on you, you're going to find that there's going to be more than enough for you. But when people put sacrificial worship and giving together. Well, the golden vials come out to collect all of the perfume it produces so God can save and savor the experience like we experienced this morning. Amen. And I really believe that that's why we're having that kind of anointing and blessing of God in our services, because you have a choice, and the world says, well, that's not a good choice. But when you make that choice, what you're saying, I believe God more.
Yes! Hallelujah!
Then God's got to respond. He's just got to respond. But I don't know if I'm going to lose my job next week. I don't know if the company is going to go, but I'm still going to pay my tithes and offerings. God's saying, I've got to be in that. It's a time for the church to shine like never before. And the world is in chaos. And God uses the chaos to feature his church. Look at us. Look how good we are. Amen. Businesses, some of them will never come back because of what they experienced. But God's saying, that's not going to hurt my church. They're coming back. Glory to God. Are we up for the challenge? Because there's extraordinary blessings like at no other time. Now is the time to step through the doorway, as God said this morning. Church, we are in a very enviable place. God wants to show himself strong on our behalf, but he wants to feature us to the world, that we're different. You see, we all have needs that we can't take care of on our own. We'll always get to that place where, you know, money can't fix it, doctors can't fix it, prescriptions can't help it. Turmoil within our family and relationships. You see, We all have those needs, and we're not going to be able to be self-sufficient and take care of all of those things, whether it's sickness or finances. A sick child in the middle of the night, what do? Protection against a threat in your life, unsaved loved ones who need God, and you've done everything you possibly can in order to share the goodness of God, but they just don't respond. And then you remember, God's got a storehouse. According to his riches in glory. So we step up to God's window to make a withdrawal. I like to make a withdrawal, Jesus. No problem, Brother Schumacher. I see you have been making regular deposits, and heaven's stock has really soared lately. How much do you really want? Is right now okay? No paperwork, no begging, just ask. Ask in the name of Jesus. Church, we need to take advantage of this pandemic. Yeah. People are watching us to see if our faith is real. Now is the time to prove God and to show the world that we're not subject to the same unforeseen future as everybody else is. We will trust in Him. Trust in Him. In the very middle of the Bible, as our musicians come, is Psalms 118:8. And there's a reason that it is right in the very middle of the Bible. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. And what we're doing right now is we're trusting in God for everything in our life. Amen. Being faithful as he has been faithful, and fear is an absence of faith, but pure love casts out all fear. Amen. God wants to do something for us, folks. And as God said, we need to walk through the door, expect great things to be happening. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? Would you stand with me?